Hey folks, and welcome to Dungeon Casters, the Dungeon Master advice show for rookie DMs by rookie DMs.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Ben.
And we're here to help you power up your campaign.
It's Morphin time!
This podcast is definitely the Green Ranger.
The best ranger.
Always the best ranger.
The best ranger. This week on Dungeon Casters, we're going to be talking about rangers, which is funny because the Green Ranger is the best ranger, and I'm not sure the Ranger is our favorite class.
Well, this is the thing is, like, Rangers get a lot of shit. They've been redesigned like 3 times so far by Wizards for 5e alone because they just can't seem to get it right.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stems from the original Ranger. Its purpose was the dual wielder and the archer. And then as the classes that you had an option to grew, those became no longer unique to the Ranger and no longer like... Like, other people can do it better. The sneaky thing, rogues can do it better. The archer thing and the dual-wielding thing, fighters can do it better. The nature thing, druids can do it better. So it's the kind of thing where the ranger got outsourced a lot.
Yeah, so we had had some negative opinions on the ranger before doing some more extensive research before this. And we kind of decided the same thing, that the ranger doesn't actually kind of suck as much as it seems to conceptually. It's just very, very specific. And we both decided that the best way to incorporate a ranger is to really work with your DM beforehand, and DMs work with your players beforehand about rangers, because they get favored enemy, which means that they're going to want to fight certain things more often than not to get the bonuses that make them a little better than anything else, or at least comparable to other things. They have favored terrain, which means they're going to prefer and have most benefit in certain kinds of areas. And just based on combat styles that they have, especially if they go down one road harder than another, there's going to be certain kinds of combat that are just more suited to what they're doing. So in this case, I think it's to everybody's benefit for both sides to bend a little bit, you know, be forthright players, make some accommodations, DMs, know where a ranger is going to be most helpful, because I don't think, even though I think we agreed that there's more utility there and more cool stuff there than we originally thought, I still maintain I don't think that there's as universal usage on an even playing field as a lot of the other classes get.
I think I understand what you're saying. I do disagree a little bit. Because rangers are kind of like cousins to my boys, the rogues. But I think that, like, with the DM working with the player when they're deciding their favorite terrain and their favorite enemy and that kind of stuff, the important thing is, like, the DM to give you, like, okay, so your campaign is going to take place in these 2 to 3 terrains to begin with, and you're going to be fighting these 4 or so different types of monsters to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So just not like saying like, oh, we're going to be in a desert and you're going to be fighting orcs, but being like, yeah, you're going to be moving from like a desert to a mountain to a cave in the Underdark and like that kind of area, and you're going to be fighting orcs and spiders and some fae and that kind of stuff. So you give them a more specific choice, but don't like literally tell them, because you still get a little bit of luck of the draw. You still get a little bit of like, this is what I'm specialized in, so when we get here, I'm gonna kick ass. But until then, like, it's kind of hit or miss. Especially with favorite enemy as an ability, if you know your ranger has favorite enemy against fae, and you have a chase scene or a, like, tracking something down scene planned, make what they have to track down or chase a fae, because then your ranger will be able to use their abilities, and that's going to be a better story.
Yeah, it's going to be about the sort of, you know, like any other thing, to some degree you bend a little bit so that the players don't just go, well, I have nothing for this, and every time they get, you know, kind of screwed over. In terms of where their role is in general, they're really a combat class more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously, like any other class, they can move beyond that point, but they make, you know, unsurprisingly great snipers, especially if you really push towards that direction. I think they can probably shoot farther than any class eventually, depending on how you ring it. They can also be great skirmishers. They can get immediate bonuses to, like, 2-weapon fighting. They get great dodge abilities. and great abilities to maneuver inside the kind of whirlwind of melee combat without actually having to just brute force through hits. They oftentimes are just harder to hit. Mm-hmm. I think in reviewing them that their specialty is really going to be in clearing out mobs. Small enemies that have a few hit points but come in huge waves. I think especially a ranger that's decently leveled, maybe 10 and above, is going to make very short work of small enemies in large groups. Cluster enemies, it's over for them with a competent ranger.
Well, and that's true. And I think that, honestly, the way you, if you look at it the right way and if you build it, you know, in certain ways, if your party doesn't have a fighter or a paladin or a barbarian, a ranger can take place of that mainline combat character.
Sure.
Of that they character can, yeah. that, like, you know, is the, he's the fighty guy. He's the one who's always leading the charge in combat. Because even though they are an in-and-out skirmisher or they are a far-range sniper, you can still take a leadership role there, and they're still very, very combat-oriented.
Yeah, and I mean, even though in a lot of cases your ranger, she's going to have combat ability that can be the mainstay. Simultaneously, party support is something that a ranger can do to not exactly the same degree as other party supports, but you know, they get good berry, which some healing, you know, sometimes in the absence of a main healer, if every other player has some minor form of healing, it can make up sort of some level of that.
Yeah.
You get things like pass without a trace, freedom of movement, a lot of movement abilities, a lot of stealth abilities, which again can be very specific, but at least things like pass without a trace, have incredible ability. It's a 10, right?
It's like plus 10 to everyone in the 30-foot range of stealth.
It's so high.
Yeah, it's incredibly powerful. And they also get cure wounds. So they also have like literal healing because they are divine casters. Their magic is divine, like a druid. So they do have a lot of party support. Also, the coolest part about their casting is their ability to like cast their spells on arrows and like have spell conditions based contingent on ranged attacks. So like Hunter's Mark is the ranger bread and butter. You put that on an enemy, and every time you're doing an extra D6, they are the person you target. You're just fucking them up. Conjure Volley is a dope spell that Ben's going to talk about a little bit more in a second. But my big one is Hail of Thorns, because that condition is if you hit with a ranged attack. So you shoot an arrow that you cast Hail of Thorns on, and then it explodes into like this natural shrapnel bomb, which is so cool. That's like a really amazing. Cool thing to do.
Yeah, I found Conjure Volley for like the first time. I'd never found this spell. I don't know why. I just never saw it. There's a couple of spells like this, which basically amount to you shoot an arrow, it bursts into a cone of like 600 arrows. And it just forms this spotlight of decimation on your enemies. It's an amazing spell. Like I love the way it looks. I love the way it operates. I love that it's just available. I love that it exists. It's so cool to me. And that spell alone makes me want to play a ranger.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm talking about with the mob clearing ability. I mean, these kinds of spells, Conjure Volley, I can't remember what the other one is called. Hail of Thorns does it too, but there's a larger form of Conjure Volley, or that is the higher form, and there's a lower form.
Barrage. That's just like Conjure Barrage.
Conjure Barrage. That's it. And they it's that scene from 300 where there's an arrow rain. Like, that's what you're making happen, and that's very cool. I love that.
And that's the thing is, like, the saving grace for me with the rangers, and I know one of the supplement rangers they came out with on Unearthed Arcana was the non-magical ranger, which in and of itself is a cool class. And, you know, they get, instead of the magic healing, they get, like, the ability to make, like, salves and potions and stuff, which is pretty neat. They get, like, the equivalents of all of their different kinds of spells in mundane abilities, which is neat.
Sure.
But the ranger spell list is really cool and really unique, and
it is,
like most aspects of the ranger, it's hyper specialized.
Yeah,
which
I think you have to be clever about figuring out how to use it. But if you are a clever player, especially a player who's looking for a challenge, a ranger might actually be a really good way to go. Because I'm looking at these spells, and I think that they're cool, but I don't know how to use them. And some cases that's frustrating, but in other cases I'm drawn to it because, you know, when you think like, oh, fireball, like I get how to use it. Oh, levitate, I get how to use it. Oh, you know, become invisible, I get, you know, some really speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
some of the
ranger
spells are so esoteric that you really have to think about their utility. So, you know, something if you're looking for a challenge as well, ranger might be a cool way to go.
And if you're looking for like pretty standard, but like still cool and unique and strong 5e ranger characters to kind of use for inspiration and based off critical roles ranger, it's either Vex or Vax. I forget the character's name. They're twins. One's Vex, one's Vax. I forget which one is the ranger, but her and her animal companion Trinket are very much the quintessential 5e ranger, and she functions as a battle mage, as a combat spellcaster. Like, every turn she's putting Hunter's Mark or Hail of Thorns or Conjure Volley or, you know, whatever else on her arrows to do these, like, gnarly AoE attacks or gnarly, like, pinpoint damage. Because in addition to mob clearing, you get a lot of that pinpoint damage. So it's like, rangers are either good at clearing a lot of little things or one very big thing. So I think it's like, it's a really neat kind of duality to a character. Also, in the Godsfall D&D podcast, there was just a little sub bit where there were a bunch of rangers, and it's the DM, Aram Vartian, who's one of my, you know, biggest DM influences and someone who I try to, you know, emulate very much. He loves rangers, so he wrote, like, essentially, like, a sub-campaign within his greater narrative that was just, like, a ranger campaign. Like, they had a couple fighters, they had a rogue and a monk in the party, but it was like, they were all basically rangers. But, like, the way he plays it and the way that the Critical Role ranger plays it both are, you know, very good, they're very interesting, and Critical Role is what made me rethink the ranger being a trash class. I think it's actually pretty neat now, and like I think that I would have to play through it to like really feel that way, but like I think that a lot of the stigma comes from 3.5, and it's better now. It's like a functioning class, and it doesn't need to be anything special or unique or like, whoa, this is so crazy, because it functions in its own way in a very cool way.
Yeah, and I think you have to consider that because 5e is so much more a role-playing game. What is the role-playing possibility for a ranger, and not just the combat ability? And you know, we fall into this too. I mean, nobody's immune from doing this because the game oftentimes does kind of come down on the numerical components. But there's also, of course, I think anybody who wants the ranger class is most interested in the Beastmaster thing. Everybody wants a pet.
Yeah, the pets are cool.
Scott, what's your opinion on the Beastmaster?
I fucking hate it. Well... Let me change that. I fucking hate how it used to be. I love what they did to it in 5e. So, I've had players in the past who love the idea of having an animal companion. Even when they're not playing nature characters, they'll play some kind of necromancer that has like 6 to 8 skeletons following them at every time.
Yeah.
Or like, they'll do some weird multi-class to make it so they have like 3 animal companions at a time. And so like... In 3.5, what that meant is that that character got 5 turns in combat for every 1 turn everyone else got, and it was the most frustrating goddamn thing in the world for a DM. I fucking hated it, because all like combat's really hard, especially in 3.5. It was really hard to keep people's attention, and like now when people have to wait through someone to do 5 turns in a row and they haven't even gotten 1 yet, it slows it down so much, like, it kills the flow of the game, and I hated it.
It does. It does.
So now, what they did is, you can choose to attack or manipulate your pet on your turn. You get one or the other, not both. And that makes sense to me. A lot of people disagree with me. A lot of people don't think it makes sense. I do, because the idea is, this is your animal companion that you are controlling. Now, it's a living animal. It has its own opinions. But it's not, like, you don't share a mind with it. So it's not going to act the way your character would or in your character's best interest unless your character gives it directions. And that's what the action is. It's not that you're literally controlling this animal companion. It's that your character is, like, being like, hey, you know... pet bear, go attack that orc, and that's your turn. It's commanding your pet.
Yeah, I think I'm with you most of the way. I don't disagree that mechanically it was a nightmare dealing with pets that could attack as well. It is a little kind of like, you know, you get it and it's like, okay, well, the animal gets to attack, I don't. Or if you attack, you feel like the animal's not really doing anything. I think that's a minor point. It's like a minor frustration of mine. I don't hold it too much. Something had to give, basically. Something had to give.
Exactly.
And if that's what had to give, I'd rather the game move quickly than somebody get every attack opportunity that they feel entitled to. I think where we agree is that in a lot of cases, it's maybe not best to go for, and again, this is prescriptive and I apologize for saying this, but I think in a lot of cases, it's best not to go for an animal companion that has like straight sort of combat utility, but
yes,
only on a damage perspective. Because, you know, you think like, oh, I'll get a wolf. It's like, yeah, you know, you'll get like, you know, once upon a time I had a druid that had like a gorilla. And it was like, yeah, but I think because you have to kind of either or, at least for a while, because you can start doing both with multi-attack options and stuff like that, picking an animal companion that provides a utility that the party doesn't have. You know, you have a bird that can fly really high in your perception. You know, the group perception now has like a way to do that. Or you don't have a rogue in the party. And you're not a stealthy ranger particularly, so you pick like a rat or a snake and all of a sudden you can get into places and do intel work and stuff like that. And that's really useful.
Exactly.
Or with a snake, if you have an enemy that maybe you really having trouble taking out, like an animal companion that has like a venom, you know, or a paralytic or some sort of condition based option, that's a nice utility to have. I think I'm past the point as a player where I'd want to pick an animal companion based on its raw damage numbers, because almost certainly it's not going to do as much as you eventually will or somebody else your party will. But saying like, we need somebody to scout, we need somebody to sneak in, we need somebody to inflict a stun, that's to me a way more useful thing, and I would strive to aim at those before I aimed at damage, which is not something I think I would have done as a newer player.
Yeah, no, I understand. And like looking at the utility ones, this is going to be a great transition into our whole customizing the ranger class a little bit uniquely. One of the like base options is a horse, like a war horse.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it functions just like, you know, a tiger or a bear would in combat. It can attack. It can like kick someone with its hooves. But like having your character mounted and making like even making like the mounted ranger, like the Mongolian bowman type ranger, like that's a cool idea. Like being the mounted archer and having from level one a free mount, because that shit's expensive.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, the speed increase that comes with something like a horse is pretty substantial.
It is.
Also, the you know, if this is the kind of campaign you're running, having a pack animal for all the stuff you're accumulating, not a bad option.
Hells yeah.
Not a bad option at all. Because sometimes you come, or just like, you know, you come into a condition where like, you're a party of four and two of your people get knocked down and all that's left are two scrawny wizards. And it's like, okay, well, we don't have anything to resurrect these people. We have to carry them back to the nearest town, which is 15 miles away. And it's like, you think this wizard's gonna be able to lift your paladin? I don't think so. Having that horse, that's a big deal in that circumstance.
It definitely is.
So that kind of utility would be great.
So speaking of alternate kind of animal companions or not going with the standard, we had a couple interesting ideas for animal companions looking through the Monster Manual, Volo's Guide, and also just off the top of our heads.
And this will take some finagling in some cases, and you will have to wait for some things at certain levels and so on and so forth. But, you know, just for thought.
It's totally worth it waiting because these are really dope. Like, the idea of the one first one I had was a wasp hive. And because, like, there is the animal companion for a giant wasp, and you can kind of fudge it aesthetically. But, like, the idea of having, like, you know, this ranger that carries around in their bag or, like, on a little perch on their shoulder or something like that, like, a literal wasp hive that has a colony of wasps in it. That's such a cool idea, like summoning the swarm and like using them as spies and like all the kind of different stuff you can do with that. That would be a really, really cool animal companion.
Yeah, I also just like the idea of a ranger wearing a beekeeper's outfit all the time instead of like, a tunic or something. I mean, like, no, I mean, it's a cool aesthetic. I mean, it's like a creepy, weird, and unusual thing to look at. Well, I also like the idea of an ostrich because you can ride an ostrich, so you have that mount option. But they're like, just like, they're weird, they're cool birds, and they're evocative of certain environments in a way that other animals aren't always.
Yes.
They're not like forest animals, they're like plains animals, or like in certain cases more like dry climate animals. You know, they have variants, but you get you know, it's just like if you get a bird, but it's not like a flight, you know, it's just this like really nasty sort of kind of prehistoric looking animal that I think would be really cool. We also had piranha.
Well, they're not in the monster manual, they're called something else. It starts with an F. It's in the back. I forget what the actual name is, but like, it's essentially piranha. And like, there's always that difficulty with having a aquatic pet as a ranger, unless you're doing an aquatic campaign. But like, I have this really funny idea of this ranger with like a big keg on its back.
And everyone's like, thinking this.
What the hell's in the keg? And like in combat, he takes the top off and like 30 piranha just leap out of this keg.
Then he
just has to scoop them all back up. But like that would be,
at some point, if you start multiclassing into spellcaster that have the ability to like control water or create water.
Yeah.
You actually could make these waves of piranha, which would be pretty rad.
Like the that water sphere that just creates a big sphere of water and locks a player in that. Yeah. Imagine filling that up with piranha. Even if you're not the one who casted it, like if your wizard casts that spell and then you're just like, all right, get them, piranha, and they're just stuck in this sphere.
That'd be some terrific synergy.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we also, the last two we have here are kind of in the same vein. One is a mammoth. The idea of,
so cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's just cool. Because then you, I think oftentimes, like, in my head, an Arctic ranger is very cool. But it also, there's something, it's so barren. And you think, like, what's out there, like rabbits and foxes. Like, you know. But a mammoth ranger, and maybe that would be a really cool story. If it's, like, a thawed mammoth and its ranger. You have like an Encino Man kind of happening.
Oh man, that'd be so rad.
Yeah. So that would be some fun role playing where you have somebody who's completely from a different time period, who's gotten stuck in a glacier and is thawed out, and that's their companion, and that's how they go through the world. And you know, you would probably have to, as a DM, level down that mammoth pretty significantly to start with. But, you know,
but
it's been in a glacier for 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 years.
So it's tired.
It's tired.
And the new, with those, the idea of the mammoth, we were also thinking of a dinosaur ranger, and with the new setting that they just came out with for 5e.
Chult is an old one, but I don't think they've done an adventure in it in 5e yet, and it looks very cool, and dinosaurs are all over that thing.
Yeah. It's like a rainforest, there's dinosaurs ever, like that is a really cool setting, and dinosaur ranger is dope in there. While you were talking, I thought of a couple others. So the other thing you can do is, if you're going to do a mammoth, you can also do an elephant. I don't know if there are stats in the book for an elephant, but that
is
the quintessential, not only pack animal, but siege engine as your pet.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, the original tank.
Exactly. And I was also, there are some animals that are like technically not beasts, so they can't be your animal companion, but like they're close enough that like if you work with the DM and maybe fudge the stats a bit, like my personal favorite D&D enemy that I've ever used and ever encountered is the bullet, also known as the land shark. They just are like these shark-shaped rhinoceroses that can swim underground just as fast as a shark can swim in the ocean, and like it is so fucking cool, and like that would be a really dope mount and or animal companion.
Agreed. So in terms of just other styles of ranger, I think we'd mentioned this, maybe druid. There was an urban variant of some nature-based thing. It may have been druid. But we both were really into the idea of an urban ranger and what that meant. And I think we both agreed it would be cool to have sort of that be a kind of a parkour specialist. You know, you get like urban runners. And I was thinking, I didn't play it, so I don't know her name, but the character of Mirror's Edge, who's like a free-running sort of package delivery sort of thing.
Revolutionary, I think. There's like some like
stuff
in there.
But, you know, with the usual sort of dex and strength-based build that a lot of rangers get, that I think would be really easy to do. And I think it would be a cool thing to do in a city setting. You know, that, it makes a lot of sense. I can see how that kind of ranger would develop.
Yeah, and also with the idea of the urban ranger, a great kind of alternate idea for a ranger is like the detective, or the cop. Yeah. Because like detectives and cops, that is an urban ranger. And
yeah, absolutely.
In the modern sense of the word ranger, you know, like it elicits that idea of cowboys and, you know, the sheriff and stuff like that. And so I think that's a really cool possibility, is doing like a detective in a city, and like your favorite enemy is like humanoids, because like you hunt criminals.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that just points to one of the basic formats in which you can make rangers kind of more interesting is just pick unusual terrains and unusual favorite enemies. You know, I think it's easy to pick like grassland and goblinoids, because you'll probably see a lot of grassland, a lot of forest, and you'll probably see a lot of goblinoids, especially at first level. I would urge to move away from that a little bit, and force yourself to think about just different places. You know, because like the druid has all those circles, you know, desert rangers and arctic rangers and underdark rangers and things like that. Even if you don't think they'll come up immediately, again, this is why I think rangers need to have a kind of more of a powwow with their DM than a lot of other classes do, because there's ways to make this kind of work in game, but the DM has to be given the time to do that. But you know, I like the idea of just kind of taking what you initially want to do because it seems easy, and just going, no, I'm not going to do that. And saying that, you know, your favorite terrain is the plane of fire. That's your favorite terrain. That's where you come from. You know, you're a tiefling or something.
Yeah.
And that's where you grew up, you know, or you're some other exotic race. And you say, my favorite terrain is the plane of fire. What can we make happen? And then you just end up skirting around volcanoes, and it's enough like home that it works, you know?
Yeah.
So I also said, just to throw kind of an early, what kind of ranger can you make? I like the idea of a summer camp counselor as a type for a ranger. They like fit so well to me. I love it. You know, they're trekkers. And they're survivalists.
Khaki shorts and high socks.
Khaki shorts and high socks, the ranger. Yeah, I'm into it. I'll do it. Oh, I will do that. That sounds very exciting to me. So what else you got?
I got, I was thinking like the opposite side, because the ranger is kind of accepted as a hunter, but like being the other side, being the conservationist, being a zoologist or an animal breeder. So your favorite enemy is an animal, not for the sake of hunting it, but for the sake of studying it, or, you know, capturing it and tagging it or protecting it from poachers or something like that.
I was just going to say, maybe your favorite enemy is humanoids because you hunt poachers.
Yeah, so like you can do the opposite end of the quintessential hunter, and that could be like a cool kind of different kind of ranger. Actually, in the campaign I just started running for a few of my friends, the ranger, it's our first time playing, and she picked favored enemy as humanoids because her and our rogue had a shared backstory where the rogue was literally raised by wolves, and poachers came and killed her whole entire pack, and then her and the ranger like teamed up and started just like going around murdering poachers, and like they went on this like vicious like they go off the cliff at the end, the crime spree with the old ladies.
Oh, it's like like a Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, Thelma and Louise. So like, they were the Thelma and Louise of rangers and rogues, and they were just going around on this, like, lady friend crime spree. It was great. It was a lot of fun. It's a good backstory.
That's great. That sounds really great. Yeah, no, I love it. So, moving on to other options. If you're a party that is maybe wants to use the ranger skills, right, and you're a DM that has a ranger that wants to use all the ranger skills and the sort of tone of it, but you don't plan on necessarily running like a combat heavy campaign, or your player / players are just more interested in a role play sort of adventuring, maybe a mystery type of thing. Maybe your ranger can have a favorite enemy as undead, and you can do sort of like a ghost hunters from Discovery Channel kind of thing. And go to all kinds of spooky places full of spooky stuff and figure out what's going on there. And then you can have, you know, you can use all the same skills. You can still use your saves. You can still use your abilities. You can probably still use your languages. If you got crazy languages, you can use your stealth and all that kind of stuff. But you don't have to necessarily engage in the combat aspect, or, you know, you can, again, sort of recolor some combat stuff so that maybe it has less of a combat mechanic and more of just a role play kind of, this is a fun adventure gadget kind of mechanic.
Wait, what was the Ghost Hunter show that where they were just like two dude bros?
I think that was Ghost Adventures. I think it was Brost Adventures.
Yes, was
the one.
Yes, that one. That is what we need to make a campaign on.
I think that'd
bunch
be cool.
Of dude Let's bros taunting ghosts in haunted houses, like, come at me, man.
That's the best part of that show. That's the best part of that show is when they try to like powerhouse ghosts.
Alpha dog all the ghosts.
But it's ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. They're alpha dogging like a house. It's just nuts. But you can do that in your campaign, and as a ranger, consider that as an option. That if you want to go RP, you still have that hunter mechanic, you just do more of a, you know, like an investigator kind of thing. It's an option. I think it'd be cool, and I think more and more people I talk to are kind of combat isn't their thing necessarily, so this is a great option to use all those skills and not have to engage in combat in the traditional way.
Yeah, and I mean, I got a couple more, a little bit more along the standard guys of D&D.
Yeah, go for it.
I've always kind of wanted to make a halfling giant hunter who just has like a combination of the halfling racial abilities and the ranger abilities against fighting big things, and just like using a slingshot and just being like really, really good at killing giants, and just like
it works well together. There's a lot of synergy there,
and you get that whole Shadow of the Colossus vibe.
That would
be such a cool campaign. Like a Shadow of the Colossus campaign would be rad. It would be so much fun.
I know.
A couple of the others, kind of offhanded ones, I was thinking of doing like a deep sea fisher, because like we talked about with the druids, there's no like underwater deep water circle, or like there's no terrain for like deep water for the ranger. It's all coastal, so doing that like deep water ranger, that like underwater ranger, be a deep sea fisher. Also, instead of being the standard and having your prey be animals, being something like a bounty hunter, or, you know, someone who hunts down deserters from a military, so your favorite enemy is the same race as you, because you work for the military, like, hunting down deserters or criminals or something.
You want people to make Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yes, if you played Dog the Bounty Hunter in my campaign, I would be so happy.
Okay.
Just bear mace everybody.
with a bad haircut and
of
everything.
Of course, that's part of it.
Yeah, that is part of it. Okay, so let's go on to our now running segment of pop culture icons in Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm gonna start off the list, and what we got at the top of the list is the kind of original ranger, the OG ranger, Aragorn. I'm gonna sub him out because of what you just said. Dog the Bounty Hunter is now my first suggestion.
It's the OG standard ranger. Dog
that
the
is
Bounty
the standard
Hunter.
Ranger everyone needs.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
I actually got two in a row this time. I got a second one. For those of you
Who
have played Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, there are three bosses. I think it's actually the first three bosses of the game are the Pain, the Fear, and the End, and all three of them are rangers. The Pain, like I was talking about before with that wasp hive as your animal companion, that's what he is. He is a living...
Still disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting, but he's a living beehive. The Fear is, like, the ultimate hunter-tracker, like, spider, snake, poison kind of guy. And the End is, like, the best sniper ever. And he's, like, he has moss growing on him so he can photosynthesize, so he can just wait for, like, his prey for weeks. Which would be a cool thing to work out with your GM, is, like, literally having a symbiotic relationship with a nourishing fungus. Like, that would be a cool thing.
Yeah. I think there'd be a lot of rich multi-classing options there for, like, a druid ranger or something, or, like, a nature cleric ranger or something like that. Totally doable. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Again, something very specific for a very specific kind of campaign, but a great option. So I'm going to go for two in a row. So I'm going to start with Mordecai from Borderlands, who, in again, sort of a traditional role, ranged combat and a hawk friend. You have the... I don't know. There's something more violent about Mordecai than I traditionally think of with Rangers. There's something, I don't know. Rangers have like a more neutral sort of standpoint to me, but that whole game was like super violent. And I don't know, it might be just fun. Also, on the sort of dark comedic tone of things, which I think this one and my next one sort of fit into this bracket. So I think Rangers, for some reason, have this tendency to get very like stoic and, serious. I don't know what it is about that class, but it always seems like that's what happens. Because my second one is Scooby-Doo and Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. And I say this because you have a guy who's got a pet who he can talk to, and they go on mystery adventures together. They're cowards, though. So I think as a trait, I think like cowardice is like a great character flaw. To a degree, I think in cases where it just means your player never engages in anything, it's not so great. But if you use it as kind of like the show did, where they would either like fall into the Troubles' lap, or they would kind of do it anyway because Shaggy would always go after Scooby and Scooby would always go after Shaggy. You know, you can do these kinds of things where you can get really sort of, you get your dark comedic tone out of Mordecai, but you get your like high slapstick comedic tone out of Scooby and Shaggy. But I think actually it wouldn't be that hard to make them work in the game with a Beastmaster. And then when the dog inevitably dies because it's wading into combat, you'll be absolutely devastated.
Zoink, Scoob! And that's what Don't leave me so about. Soon!
Yeah. Yeah. It'll just be devastating. And that's what it is to be a ranger, to be devastated by the death of your pet, because that's why you probably took the class in the beginning.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
The next one we got on the list is the Lone Ranger in Silver, and like, this is kind of low-hanging fruit, I guess, because Ranger is literally in his name, like, his animal companion is like, it's a super smart, it's more than a regular horse, which is kind of that bond between a ranger and their animal companion. He is, you know, he is more of that lawman kind of ranger we were talking about with hunting down criminals and stuff. But he still is a hunter. He's a tracker. Aside from...
Yeah, I mean, it's you get the cowboy aesthetic. And you can't forget that. I mean, like a cowboy would have been like probably a wilderness person. Trapping, hunting, waiting, bounties. Yeah. I mean, it's all the same stuff. I think that you just... You wouldn't necessarily, depending on the game you're running, you wouldn't necessarily have access to the technology available in that era if you're running like sort of a more classic D&D game. But I think in terms of mentality, saying something like a cowboy versus like a woodland ranger, it just changes your mindset about how you play that character and what traits they might have. And so just as an option to think about what mentality you might be taking on. Considering that as an option, that mechanically you'd have to do nothing to change it, it's there for you.
The next one we got on the list, I was super stoked about remembering about, and it goes kind of with our dinosaur mammoth ranger ideas, which was Turok.
Yep.
Because
Turok.
That was a dope game, and
that's a dope
game. That would be a really fun character to play. And Turok's basically a ranger.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it goes back to that dinosaur ranger thing, because you can play it two ways in that case. You can play, like, a dinosaur hunter, which is sort of like the Monster Hunter series, but a dinosaur hunter.
Even think about the dinosaur.
Or you have, like, Or you have the more dinosaur companion. You know, you have two sides of the same coin there with something like, I mean, Turok obviously was more of a hunter than a companion guy, but... that's just, again, two sides of the same coin you can look at and utilize the dinosaurs, which in certain settings are, like you said, in something like Chult and the new expansion they put out, very available, But in your game, they can be that available. As long, you know, and there's certainly smaller dinosaurs that mean you don't have level 2 characters running around on, like, brachiosaurs. You know. But it could be cool. I think that sort of, like, old world kind of primal stuff doesn't... I don't feel like it comes out much in my games. I don't feel like I've seen it much in games where you have these, like, old world animal kind of things coming out. These, like, untended wilds. Could be really cool in D&D, especially if you have a party that really wants to do a lot of, like, exploration, adventuring, sort of conquest and that kind of game.
Definitely.
And last, we have, again, sort of like Aragorn is a bit of a low hanger, things like the Green Arrow and Hawkeye, and any of the other really, like, martial DC Marvel characters that just are everywhere. Again, sort of in the way that you can go serious or funny or whatever. I think the Green Arrow is more tongue-in-cheek. You get more Robin Hood out of that kind of thing. Hawkeye is more serious, I think, anyway. And so you can look to kind of one or the other based on how you want to play it. And I think especially with something like these two, again, going back to the Unearthed Arcana briefly, there's that sort of like trickster, arcane trickster bowman that has all kinds of wild, you know, spell arrows and stuff like that. That is basically how you play the Green Arrow in Dungeons and Dragons. Like, that is what they made that for. I know that's why that's 100%. In there. So if you want to do that, the resources exist, and I think it's just about what sort of tone you want when playing it. Because you can go explosives, and you can go boxing gloves. And it's up to you.
Well, I mean, like...
I would go boxing gloves.
See,
it would be boxing gloves.
I would go explosives. But also, like, you did bring up Robin Hood, which I can't believe we didn't put on the list, because...
I thought about it, I just thought it was just too
easy. It is too easy.
But Robin Hood. We'll put his name on the Robin Hood and any of his merry men.
Well, with that, if you have any questions about rangers, ranging, range rovers, any kind of range things, you can...
Oh, yeah. You got a car question? You send it somewhere else.
But if you have a Dungeons & Dragons Ranger question, you can email us at dungeoncasterspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, send us a tweet at @dungeon_casters, and maybe we'll answer your question on an episode. We'll definitely answer it on Twitter. We're pretty active on Twitter. There's two of us, so we're on there pretty much
all the time. We try to be active on Twitter. Oh, I try to be. I'm not good at Twitter. Speaking of things I'm not good at, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. We are on iTunes, and you can rate us and review us, and then we'll get more popular, more people will find us, and you can be the, oh, I listened to that back before, it was cool kind of person.
Everybody wants to.
Exactly. And
everybody wants to. Just search us Dungeon Casters under the podcast tab, and we should be the first one up there.
Oh, hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben.
This is getting very quiet and intimate. Maybe this is a sensual joke.
What do you call a ranger with no animal companion?
I don't know.
A virgin.
Yeah, I was right. It was a sensual joke.
In this podcast, we used Achilles and News Sting by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons.